This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about the Great Reset. Kevin, what is the Great Reset? What are we even talking about? It sounds like something like from the 1920s or something. You know, one of the brilliant government ideas. What is this? The world's what's happening?
All right, so this is from the World Economic Forum. The WEC, okay. EF, sorry.
They sound important. To lots them, of governments? No?
Yeah, well, lots of important people involved in it. Government people.
All right.
According to them, there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the world, the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset. Ooh. So that's their jam here.
So they're going to improve the world, huh?
Yeah, and you can go buy this book that tells you exactly what their plans are. And now
that's
you and me, you know, we do this podcast and we talk and we bullshit about a lot of stuff. And you know that I'm not a conspiracy guy. 90% of conspiracies I think are bullshit, you know. But this one really sounds creepy. This one really sounds fucked up. It sounds like something that actually is a conspiracy. Like the conspiracy theories like are onto something with this one. This one is completely out of, you know, just completely out of their fucking minds, whoever's coming up with this shit.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article at like townhall.com or something, and it was like, the Great Reset, conspiracy, or is there really something fishy going on here? And I was like, yeah, you know, the more they got into it, they're like, yeah, you know, you just kind of like, you want to dismiss it, but then you're like, well, you know, that's kind of shady shit, you know? So that is how people take it. All right. So what's weird, these guys are out here, this World Economic Forum. Now, this is made up of like companies and businesses and influential people. That's what you were saying?
Right, right. So there's a lot of people in there. The chairman is Klaus Schwab, right? You know, everybody knows his last name. He's from that Schwab family.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's Christine Lagarde, she's the president of the European Central Bank. Mark Banoff, he's the CEO of Salesforce. And Anthony Fauci. There's quite a few people in here that names you'd recognize.
Okay.
And you actually can join. you can actually be a member, and it only costs $600,000 a year.
Well, 600, I thought it was 60. Oh, I was all ready to sign up.
Yeah, $628,000.
Damn it. Oh, that's a little out of my budget. All right. Yeah, now you would actually think that this is a bunch of companies that they're looking to help the planet is what they say in their statement here. But when I look at the companies, I kind of question what's their real motive. Because now, mind you, I went through, they have a giant list of companies that are members of the World Economic Forum. And obviously, I picked out ones that are going to make my point, right? I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, there are ones that maybe contradict this a little, but these are the ones that struck me as, wait a minute, something's fishy here. So they said that they basically, they're here to look out for you and make the world a better place. Let me drop some of these names and tell me if that's what comes to mind. The China Construction Bank, they care about the little guy, right?
Yeah.
How about the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China? That doesn't sound right to me either. Wait, here's a champion of the people, Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yeah, they're always looking out for the little guy.
They're looking out for the little guy. JP Morgan. Let me see. Coke and Pepsi. Who knew, right? Mm-hmm. Allied Bank. Wait, here's a good one that you guys are going to love. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Because nothing says caring like Bill Gates. You know they do. Bloomberg. Bloomberg's always looking out for the little. I know they're looking out for gun owners. Mm-hmm. They're trying to help you. Equifax. That's a name people like to see. How about Pfizer and Moderna? Huh. Who Absolutely. Would have thought those two companies, right? Mm-hmm. Google, they're a champion of the people. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I mean, I could go on. The names are forever. Apple, BAE Systems, who those of you former military, you know who they are. Johnson & Johnson, which I actually kind of always thought was a pretty good company. Here's one that I feel like doesn't have the interests of the people at heart, and that would be Heineken. I mean, really, would you put that product out if you cared about the little guy? That's what I think.
Yeah, but Anheuser-Busch is on there too. All the shitty beer makers in the world have united.
They united, all right? They're trying to. All right. So, what's really going on now? They tried to come up with this plan, and it's kind of weird. So, they want a let me find the best wording here. I got. Is stakeholder capitalism. All right. So what they mean by that is they want the creation of stakeholder capitalism, which will replace shareholder capitalism. The idea of the system, this is their words, is that companies will work for common good rather than the immediate profit and benefit. All right. So we want to reshape companies. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, how the hell are we going to reshape companies? Well, guess what? I did the research and we're going to tell you. Although many Great Reset supporters have called for dramatic expansion of government welfare programs, including job guarantees, government-provided health care, the heart of the Great Reset is something called environmental social governance. All right, so ESG, this thing is going to come up over and over again. Now, the idea is they basically want companies to have an ESG score. And it'll basically evaluate your commitment to the article I read said left-wing causes. I would say political causes. It's basically how green a company is, how much you support minorities, how involved you are with political issues that, you know, political issues that agree with them. Turns out they don't like gun companies for some reason. I don't understand. They have very low ESG scores.
Okay.
But they have a whole, so the what it is they actually want to rate companies based on how much they support ideas that they agree with. And these end up being very socialist ideas. And because it's all about the common and how we can push to everybody, you know, it takes away from the individual. But how much you support these common goals are how you're going to be evaluated by banks and are given preferable treatment. So it just ends up going down a very shady road. And where it really gets almost despicable in my mind is what they're looking for is they want to replace government control because they're like, oh, governments shouldn't be deciding this stuff. The people invested, they keep saying the shareholders, you know, the stakeholders should be, you know, the ones looking for it. And us as a people, we're the stakeholders as a mass, right? Like, does this sound like socialism to anybody? Because it kind of feels like socialism to me. Stakeholders, the way they mean it, are everybody. And, you know, we all have something to lose when companies make bad choices. So we should make sure that everybody's green and everybody's looking out for minorities and everybody's, and all this. I mean, on the surface, you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't hate minorities, Chuck. Why are you such a negative person? I understand. I get where you're coming from. You need to go back a few episodes and listen to my rants on socialism. And you'll, I mean, I'm sure I'll get to another one at some point in this episode, but you know, but the idea is they want the companies to be in control, but go on.
And basically the idea is that you will own nothing and you will be happy about it. And I keep hearing people actually say that out loud. Like that should be the part that you don't say out loud.
They made a commercial.
Yeah, that's what the idea is.
I have it.
You don't own anything, and you're going to be happy to not own anything.
Right.
Because they're going to take care of you. You need somebody to – you know, I always think that the government doesn't act like enough of a mommy for me to tell me what I need to do and not do to take care of myself. But, you know, really I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you can just shove that right up your fucking ass. You know, go mind your own fucking business. They're trying to mind my business. Mind your own business. And I watched their videos. I watched, you know, all these people talking garbage, straight garbage. Like, mind your own business and get some fucking cameras that work and get some fucking microphones that work. I can't even tell what half of these motherfuckers are saying because it's all fucking garbled and nonsense garbage. Like, they can't even get their own shit together. And they're trying to mind my shit. Don't mind my shit. Jesus.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they're going to abolish private property. Yeah. You will own nothing and like it. Yes. No, the idea is that they're trying to abolish private property so that they can protect the environment by depopulation and they can take care of us by, you know, by telling us what we should be doing to take care of us. Now, one of the most evil things in the world is the Chinese social credit score that they have. Decides whether or not you can travel based on how good you are and how well behaved you are and how much the party likes you.
Right. That's now, raise your hand if you were terrified when you heard that, right? You were terrified. You were like, oh, that's fucked up. And we see these videos of like the street camera and it had the facial recognition. And then people have their credit score kind of, their social credit score. Like, oh, this guy's a team player and he supports the party and whatever. Yep. They have that. They have a social credit score in their plans. Mm-hmm. And it's ugly. I don't know. I just find that outrageous. And that's a world, you know, how often have we heard, you know, a government that can give you everything that you want is a government that can take away everything that you have, you know, is not the way you want to live your life.
So Klaus Schwab is really pushing this initiative. There's a book out called The Great Reset. Now there's a part two here called The Great Narrative. Now, the idea is that they are going to change the narrative so that people start seeing the error of their ways by owning their own house and by choosing which job they work at. So hopefully they can sort this all out for us. Like I said, they weren't able to sort out their own audio video system, but they're going to sort out our lives. So we can look forward to that. That's a good thing.
Well, they got your back. I mean, that's the bottom line. Well, have you noticed that the housing market, like, I don't know about you, but I've actually been contacted by several realtors and they're like, don't you want to sell your house? Because there's nothing available right now for sale. And, you know, we can't, there's no new listings and I'm worried. And, you know, what am I going to do about my job? When I look around, I find that more and more houses are owned by investors. Now you're thinking, oh, well, it's because of all those books from that Rich Dad, Poor Dad and whoever else. Carlton Sheets was the one back in the day, right? Some of you guys probably too young to even remember Carlton Sheets, but Carlton Sheets was it. We had all those infomercials. Do you remember when there used to be infomercials? Who knew?
Yeah.
Right? The good old days. So anyway, there were, you know, it turns out it's not necessarily those guys. A lot of it is big corporations. And a lot of those corporations are companies like there's one called BlackRock. And there's a whole bunch of REITs. You see REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts, REIT. You'll see a lot of that. And that's something you can invest in on the stock market. But what they're doing is they're buying whole neighborhoods and large areas, they buy them up and then they can control the rent. And the idea is to make it where it's possibly tough for you to even, you know, meet your basic needs. And you're like, oh, well, that just sounds evil and conspiracy-like. But look around. Have you seen the housing markets go up? Have you noticed that rents are going up everywhere? Now, obviously, you're like, well, Chuck, have you seen inflation? Have you seen the government printing money like complete jackasses? Well, yes, that is definitely a factor too. And there's a whole bunch of inflation going on from that. But it's extra dramatic in the housing market. And it's basically a multi-prong approach from companies like this working together. The idea is, now, again, this isn't really written in black and white. This is where you get into the grayer conspiracy end of it. But what is in black and white is they want what's called a UBI, a universal basic income. And the way they plan to implement that is by people being so in debt that they're just like begging for the government to, that's where this whole great reset thing comes. Let's go back to zero. Let's go back to, you know, hey, if I had no debt, then I'd have a fair shot. You know, that's what people believe. They're like, oh, you know, all my bad choices. I just need a fresh start because now I'm going to turn everything around and start making good choices. Well, you have no choices left up to you, then you're bound to only make good choices, right?
Right.
If you're only allowed the car that I offer you, because there's only one company making cars because they're the most socially responsible, and there's only one type of cereal. And you know what? Let's just I can't even find a good toilet paper company. So we're just not even going to have that anymore. You know, to hell with toilet paper. You guys, you're on your own on that one. But they just basically are hoping, and again, it's kind of conspiracy, but the idea is people are going to end up in so much debt, and that is the road we're heading down, that they're going to be begging for the government to just take over and handle things. You know, it goes back to what Kevin just said about you'll have nothing and you'll be happy, because you'll be happy because you'll be like, well, I'm debt free, you know, but there's nothing to aspire to. You know, it doesn't give you any, you know, purpose in life. And that's an ugly road we don't want to go down. But
Yeah, I think a lot of this shit is, you know, you call it socialism, but Socialism implies that you vote for who's in charge. Communism is more of what they're looking at. Like, they are the ones that are going to be in charge, and you're going to be the one that's not in charge. You know what I mean? You don't have a decision on what, on who's making the decisions. They're making the decisions for you. And the idea is that if everybody can just fall in line and start behaving themselves, we can get over this COVID thing. If everyone will just start behaving themselves, we can get out of this global warming situation we're in. If everybody just starts behaving themselves, then we can get out of this inflation that we're dealing with. You know, everybody just has to start following the fucking rules. Just listen to the fucking rules. We're straightening this out for you. But if you're not behaving yourself, then we're going to have to, you know, make some check marks on your social credit score and make sure you can't travel. Make sure you can't get a loan. Make sure you can't get a job that pays anything more than bare, sustaining your life, just being able to feed yourself, and that's it, you know. But you have to start behaving yourself and fall in line. Otherwise, all these problems are not going to get any better.
Yeah, I just imagine like an angry old fat white guy sitting, looking at his computer monitor, and your picture comes up, and he sees you out there protesting against something. Maybe you have some kind of jackass podcast where you're upsetting everybody, and he's just putting his thumb on the thing, being like, "I crush you like a bug," and just ready to, "You die."
I'm crushing your head.
That's how I see it. I see it playing out. You know, I don't know. Maybe I've watched too many movies. All right. Well, what gets even creepier with this is they've been coming up with this plan for a while, but now here's what you want to know. Now, COVID-19, that obviously happened in 2019, right? It's the 2019 variant of the coronavirus, right?
Right.
So in 2018, now it's kind of weird. 2018, the World Economic Forum, these very guys we're talking about, collaborated with Johns Hopkins Center for Health and Security to conduct something called Clade X. Now, Clade X was an imaginary virus that was supposed to be a variant of influenza, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they created a simulation of a national pandemic, and how the response would be. And apparently they based it on the U.S., which, why is this world company just worried about what the U.S. does? It's because we're cooler. That's why.
Yep.
We're cooler than everybody else. You know that's why. Because they're like, if we can just crush America, then everybody will fucking fall in line. Now, sure, our current president, and maybe our last president, and maybe the president before, that, were jackasses. But mm-hmm. somewhere back there was a good one. I mean, I don't remember when exactly, but you know, maybe Slick Willie. I don't know. I don't know which one, but obviously for me, it's the Gipper, but we won't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But 1980 anyway. To 88.
Yeah. Those were the good years. Yeah, there's a song. I think it's called If Heaven or something, Andy Griggs or something. And he's like, you know, if heaven was a place, if this, whatever, if heaven was a time, it'd be like 1984 or something. And I'm like, yeah, because Reagan was president, of course, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Anyway, when they played this out, they said if people didn't get vaccinated, it would be 30 to 40 million deaths. And it would be contagious and outside the country to about 900 million deaths worldwide. And they played it out. And then they were like, you know, let's really dig deep into this and do it again. So the following year, 2019, they had new sponsors, not Johns Hopkins, but let's bring in the big dogs, Bill and Melinda Gates. And this is actual factual shit that happened. Right, this isn't conspiracy. So they called this one Event 201. And this is in 2019, before the coronavirus outbreak. And do you want to guess what type of virus they they decided to use instead of the flu this time. I mean, take a wild shot in the dark.
Shit. I don't know. There's so many diseases.
A coronavirus.
Get out of town.
They were like, I mean, what are the odds that in 2019, they were like, what if instead of just national, what if there was an international coronavirus outbreak? What would happen then? And they discussed what the governments would do, how they could, you know, treat it, how they could do it, whatever. So they did the first one in 2018, and then they did one very specific in 2019. If you search Event 201, and I've also heard it called Event 201 Lockstep, which is kind of a weird name to give something unless you were planning on using it to get the people to conform, but you know, hey, to each their own, right? So they discussed, you're going to like this, the censorship they might need to employ in order to combat misinformation. Now, I have to point out, remember, Apple is on this company, Google, and Google who owns YouTube. I didn't see Facebook. So I was a little surprised that I don't see their name in the roles. But I digress here. So they discussed flooding the media with authoritative sources and censoring out. So I'm like, huh. And I just feel like this very same thing played out. And to say that it's a conspiracy when it's all factual and it all happened, I find it a little odd, you know? And what is so concerning to me is, you know, I go back to it's companies trying to be in charge, not elected government officials. You know, I know you pointed this out already, but it's companies saying we need to decide because we're the socially responsible ones and we need to make sure everybody else is. And basically, our agenda and our opinions are the only ones that should be heard. I feel like groups of people have actually tried to implement this type of thing in the past. And now they're trying to do it through world government, and they're trying to be not elected. It all sounds very familiar. Something that we've seen before. Now, obviously, this coronavirus thing is hopefully gonna die down someday. It seems like it's taking a turn that way where you know, it's less, the government is kind of done with it, or maybe the people are done with it. But you'll be happy to note that, don't worry, they have a backup plan, and their backup plan is global warming and making a greener planet. And all these same things that there were, you know, it's so important we control everybody because of the virus. Now they've gotten you used to being told what to do. Now we can segue into, you know, the planet, and it's so important and you need to do this way, do things this way, you know? So I just feel like we're going down a little bit of a dangerous road. I feel like, hey, government's trying to do socialism. That doesn't sound like a conspiracy to me. That just sounds like what they're always trying to do. Now, obviously, like I just said, it's not really government. It's greedy, rich, white guys.
Right.
But who, you know, I feel like that's the same
contribute
thing.
Campaign finances to the people that
influence
are government. Elected, even though we don't vote for them for some reason.
Now, do you imagine if you're the president and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do what Google says. Google makes recommendations to me. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, Google. I don't care about you. What would happen? Oh, wait, is that what Trump did?
No, you just don't get elected. You don't, you know, and it's the same thing that I've been going back to, you know, over and over again is that we only have the option of two people to vote for president. You know what I mean? You're never going to have a real third party candidate because every time there's an attempt, they just put that shit down. After Ross Perot, they basically put an end to that. You can't have a third party. You can't be involved in the debates. Yeah, you can vote for whoever you want, but they're not going to fucking win. You know?
Right.
You have a Democrat candidate and a Republican candidate, and they're basically the exact same fucking person, you know, moving the decimal right. point one place to the left or to the right. And that's basically it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, when I brought up Trump, a lot of you were like, well, you know, maybe he didn't win because he's a friggin' jackass and he says really stupid shit. Yeah, there's that. But remember who beat him when you're making that argument.
Right.
And then you're like, well, yeah, no, that is kind of weird. Google or somebody might have had some, you know, influence there. But because, yeah, no, if that, I don't know. Anyway. Now that we filled your head with all kinds of depressing, horrible stuff that socialism's right around the corner, what's going on in the world? Probably happy things?
People yeah, are hanging out in parks flowers and beautiful stuff. We're currently on the Volodymyr Zelensky death watch now.
Oh, nice.
Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, who has like big clacking balls made out of steel, apparently.
Whoa.
The government, you know, the world governments were all saying that he was going to, you know, have to flee the country and have a government in, you know, in absentia or whatever they call that shit. Like during World War II, where all the kings and the presidents and everybody fled their country as Nazi Germany was taking over. And then, you know, just right. waited until the war was over and came back. Not this guy. Now he actually is staying in the capital. I don't know how they haven't killed him yet. You know what I mean? Honestly, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten shot in the head or shot in the back already. But he's still alive. The U.S. government said they would extract him. And he said, I don't want to leave. I need you to send me more anti-tank missiles. Like that's the dude. I mean, he's basically completely surrounded in Kyiv right now. And, he's not going anywhere. I remember old Ted Cruz fled the country over an ice storm. So, I mean,
well, you know,
whatever that says. But he's not going anywhere. And so, you know, it's really a matter of time before the Russians either capture him or kill him. And I feel like being captured would be far worse than being killed by the Russians. You know, they don't necessarily treat their captives all that well. If you remember the guy that was... What was the guy's name? Nikolnikov that was running against Putin, who's been in prison for like, they poisoned him. And then he went back to Russia and they immediately just put him in prison and they're starving him to death. So, I mean, you see how that goes when they capture you. They just beat the shit out of you until they catch you saying whatever they want you to say and record that little bit and send it out. So, I mean, it looks like
we put ours Zelensky, on the internet. So,
yeah, I'm guessing if I had to guess, Zelensky is going to be dead by the time this podcast hits the air, which is going to be about 12 hours from now. He does seem a little bit wily, though. He might make it a little bit longer. We'll see what happens with him. I'm rooting for him 100%. I'm rooting for Ukraine. And, you know, I'm pro democracy versus I'm anti-authoritarianism, which seems fucking strange because there's a lot of fucking assholes that I used to respect that are coming out in support of Russia for some fucking reason. Like Candace Owen, like read Putin's speech and was like, oh, he makes a good point. Everyone's like, well, it's that NATO's point. Fault for hemming in Russia. It's not like they're going to invade exactly. other countries or anything. Yeah, no, NATO right. is there for a fucking reason. And it's fucking working. And if we had let Ukraine join NATO, this wouldn't have happened. But, you know, everybody's got their fucking panties in a bunch. They don't want to upset Putin. Like he's making fucking threats that he's going to do something about it. And everyone's like, no, he's just joking. He's not going to do something about it. Then he invades Ukraine. And everyone's like, hey, no, he's not actually going to invade. And then he's like right. taking over the fucking capital. And everyone's like, well, he's just going to give it right back. He's not serious. He's not, right. it's not like he's going to decapitate the government and install his own puppet regime. Come on. You see what's fucking happening. And everyone's acting like we're scared of upsetting Russia. What are they going to do that they're not already doing? Why fucking pussy step around this shit? But whatever.
Who hasn't said that?
Whatever. Putin is just sticking up for Russians and he's anti-Nazis, trying to take out the anti-Nazi government of Ukraine that is run by a Jew. You know what I mean? Well, the fuck out of here with your bullshit.
Anybody's ever done that before. Where mm-hmm. they try and paint the government as, you know, not looking out for the people and they're there to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never heard of that happening. So I seem to remember some kind of campaign they used to do called Never Again.
Yes, I remember something about that.
It's vague. It's fuzzy. You know, I'm getting older.
Way so back probably, in there.
Probably just yeah. remember wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole yeah. Yeah, that whole that whole about thing that? About looking out for Russia's security and its independence. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, China is fucking looking at this playbook that Putin's playing and is like, oh yeah, I can just take over Taiwan. Nobody's gonna do shit about it. Just like the United States isn't doing anything about this. NATO countries, right. They're not doing anything. Oh yeah, they're sanctions. We've been sanctioning Russia for fucking 20 years. They don't give a fuck about that.
That was I was reading news on the internet last night, and it was a hardcore right-wing group, the BBC. You probably heard of them.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like Biden's they pretty much were dogging Biden hard. They were like, this guy's a coward if I ever saw it. And I was like, damn. I was like, you don't see that every day.
No.
You know, where they'll actually stand up to the American president. And they were like, well, yeah, he's moving troops. But he's moving troops because he's required to help out NATO. And he's going to help out NATO. He's going to do nothing for the Ukraine.
Right.
It's just we're moving troops to make sure. Well, all right, he's going to take the Ukraine, but we can't let him take more than that. And
right.
We're going
to
make sure the other countries on the outside are okay. Mm-hmm. And they just dogged him left and right. I'm like, holy shit. Because – you know, I thought that if we elected Biden president, that the whole world would love us, right? That's what they first said about Obama.
Yeah.
And then they said when Biden, oh, if you know, we're not respected in the world. We're a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, if we elect the right Democrat, then we'll be respected.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, like I said, it fucking goes both ways, too, because I got plenty to say about fucking Trump. He's talking about how this would never happen if he was president. Motherfucker, does anybody remember his first impeachment? It was over denying defense money to the Ukraine. That's the whole fucking thing. You were the fucking asshole that started the whole goddamn thing.
When you bring up things that are uncomfortable, it's not nice.
Yeah, people don't like talking about that.
Be nice.
Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry. Right. I feel like I
should
be
on the same page.
I feel like I should be an equal opportunity person when it comes to shitting on people. And I'm just trying to be fair and balanced, you know?
I guess what it all comes back to for me is maybe you should do the right thing for yourself and just do what you think is right and say fuck everybody else. You know, I would say don't give them a fucking inch. You do what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted a badass t-shirt that said something like that, you can head over to preppingbadass.com. Maybe you want to, you're enjoying this so much, you want to ensure it stays on the air. You can support us at patreon.com/preppingbadass. Maybe you have show topics, ideas, concerns. This actually was a request right here from several listeners to talk about the Great Reset. There's a lot of good things coming up. We're looking forward to, you know, giving you guys that extra good, whatever it is we do, the pizzazz that Kevin has. Kevin is full of pizzazz. You guys probably don't even remember that word.
That's a good adjective for me.
All right. Pizzazz. I like it. So preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.